The Fed plan to boost the economy may not be as big as some thought.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its day. Coming up, the Fed might opt for a cheaper approach to economic stimulus when it meets next week. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow is down 65 points to 11,103. The NASDAQ down just a fraction of a percent, and the S&P 500 down about a half a percent at this hour. Investors are watching some corporate earnings today. Procter & Gamble is reporting a higher-than-expected profit this morning, thanks to household product sales in emerging markets. Now to Richard DeCaeser, economist with the Parthenon Group. He joins us live from Boston. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Well, Richard, the story everybody's talking about this morning in the Wall Street Journal, it says the Fed may actually pump less new money into the economy than previously thought. If that ends up being true, what's the reason for it?
Well, I think we're in fine-tuning mode right now, and this contrasts with where we were back in, say, November and of 2008 and early 2009 when the economy was absolutely in crisis. Employment was in free fall. Now we're looking at an economy that's stabilized. It's just not growing as quick as the Fed would like. So I think they're likely to move incrementally and make it conditional upon economic outcomes. As long as inflation is too low and unemployment too high, they'll continue. But if both those metrics get back where they'd like, the Fed will call it quits.
And briefly, Richard, we got durable goods orders numbers this morning from the Commerce Department. These are big ticket items like refrigerators and computers that companies buy. They were up 3% in September. Is that good news?
Well, it is, but only on a qualified basis. Durable goods are important because it reflects business and consumer willingness to basically stick their necks out, buy these big ticket items. But the reason for today's big surge had almost entirely to do with aircraft orders. Boeing in particular reported a huge book of orders. When they do, that skews the numbers. If you net that out, you actually saw a modest decline. So this brings us back to the Fed. These are the concerns that the Fed is trying to battle. Businesses and consumers are wary. The Fed's trying to counter those forces. And that's why they're doing exactly what they are.
Okay, Richard DeCaeser, thanks.
My pleasure.
Richard DeCaeser, economist with the Parthenon Group. Well, the European Union announced a new trade strategy today with a major piece of it focused on China. Companies in Europe and here in the U.S. want Beijing to allow more foreign bidding on Chinese government contracts. As Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports from Shanghai, that may be easier said than done.
China insists it gives foreign companies unfettered access to bid on contracts like those for state-owned enterprises and local government projects. But the country has refused to sign an international treaty that requires a more open bidding process. That's frustrated U.S. corporations who would love a piece of China's gigantic government contract pie. But for years, companies interested in bidding on public contracts in China were required to register their trademarks in China. James McGregor, author of 1 Billion Customers, says you might as well give the Chinese the blueprints to your product.
I talk to a lot of senior executives, and they may still be smiling when they come to Beijing, but behind closed doors, they're reassessing their business. Because it's no longer, will you lose your technology in the China market? It's now, will you lose your technology in the China market? And it'll come back and could destroy some of your businesses globally.
Because of China's policies, few foreign companies end up bidding on government contracts, leaving billions in potential revenue out of reach. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices, at novonordisk-us.com.
Cash-strapped states are looking for new sources of revenue, and they're finding it's easiest to tax things that everyone has. Here with a surprising example of that is David Lazarus. He's a consumer columnist for the Los Angeles Times. David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So we're talking about a product that everyone has. What is it?
It's the cell phone.
Uh-huh.
And according to the wireless industry, nearly 300 million of these things are around in the United States right now. That's almost 93% of the population sporting one of these handsets.
And the states, they all want to get a piece of this action.
Well, who wouldn't with a product that ubiquitous? The thing is, it's how they get at it. For example, some states, like New York, go after the service plan. They put these big taxes on the actual amount that's being charged for the service. Now, that's why there's a law in Congress right now that says, you got to scale that back. Lawmakers are trying to decide whether that's a good idea. Other states, however, go after the actual cell phone, the handset.
And how do they do that?
Well, in places like California, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, the way they do it is they have laws and rules that say we're not going to tax you on the discounted price. We're going to tax you on the full freight of the actual retail price, even though you might have gotten it bundled with a service plan that gave you a discount or even got you the phone for free.
So if I buy a cell phone that's, say, $200, you're saying I'm actually getting taxed on what the full price of that phone was that I'd never see that price, but it might be $400 or $500?
Let's say you're offered a jacket that normally retails for $500, but they're selling it to you for $200.
Yep.
Under no circumstances would you ever be taxed on the $500 value. You'd be taxed on the $200. What they're doing with cell phones, and as best as I can tell, only cell phones, is taxing you on the full value of the thing as opposed to the actual price.
And how is that fair?
It's not. Not that, but you find a point on it. And I put that question to California tax authorities, and they said, well, even though the tax code says one thing, tax regulations say another, and we're just going to go with tax regulations until anyone tells us otherwise. What they've done is essentially created a loophole whereby they can get more money for this ubiquitous consumer product until someone tells them to stop.
Loopholes are always good when they give you more money. All right, David Lazarus, consumer columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, tonight, people in New York will actually be paying for bedbugs. Bedbugs, the musical, that is. It's set in 2012, and it involves a woman whose mother was killed by bedbugs. She becomes an exterminator to get revenge. And if you want to find out the rest, you're just going to have to go see the show. Just make sure you use a high-heat dryer on your clothes after you get home from the theater. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
There are some proposals out there for serious cuts in the American economy, folks. Big stuff, too, like, a 35-hour work week?
The basic idea is that there's a pool of work that needs to get done. If I do a little less and my colleagues do a little less, we can hire someone else.
I'm Kai Rizdal, creating jobs by sharing the wealth, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.